Drinks.
Hey everyone, welcome to Why Mommy Drinks. This is Betsy Stover, and today I am joined by two amazing people. They are both writers and podcast hosts. They're also going to tell us about their podcast. We've got Danielle Koenig.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm the one with the annoying cartoon voice.
Oh, well, welcome. You'll fit
Thanks.
Right in.
Thanks.
And also Christine Kimmel.
Hey, everyone. I'm going to use this voice the entire time.
Oh, wow.
So sexy, Chris.
We've got a cartoon and like an NPR lady.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm a little tired. How are we doing?
Good. Are you tired because of kids?
Oh, it's like an existential exhaustion, but also because of kids. Because now the only time I'm not getting a ton of alone time during the day because kids are always like home with tummy aches and sore throats.
Oh, no.
No one's got the Rona. They're just fucking home all the time.
So you finally get them to school and then they get sick and they have to stay home.
Exactly. So then the only time I sort of get to myself is at night, and then what's it called when you like eat too much and you gorge?
Being a woman?
Binge?
Binge, yeah, maybe that's it. Oh, gluttony. I get gluttonous about staying up late. I'm like, I can't get enough. I'll stay up later. Because it's so quiet and delicious.
Yeah.
Well, you want to sort of mark your time as an adult.
Yes.
Like, this is my way to celebrate. I only have this half an hour window before I have to collapse into bed. And it's my time. Yes. And I want to do something special for myself.
And if I want to have popcorn and a Jack and Diet Coke for dinner, that's what I'm going to do. For example, I'm just saying, I'm pulling that out of thin air.
Yeah, just pull that out.
To be my go-to dinner.
That sounds like an amazing dinner.
With chocolate chips in the popcorn, by the way.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Yes.
I know.
Danielle knows how to live. Oh, boy. So I have three kids. They are all boys. I have a 5-year-old, a 9-year-old, and an 11-year-old. What's the situation over there with you, Danielle?
Well, I only have one kid. I have a 14-year-old son, and I know. And so sometimes I envy people with larger families because they'll have each other. They have each other and they'll have each other when they're adults. And, you know, do they get along? That's what I always ask everyone who has more than one kid. Do they get along?
They're sort of like best frenemies a lot of the time. The oldest two like can't live with each other, can't live without each other kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they fight like cats and dogs and they don't. They're so insane with each other. And then, like, the oldest one went to camp, and the youngest one was like, I miss him. I don't know. And then the youngest one, he's like 5 years younger. So he's than the oldest. So he's kind of doing his own thing.
Yeah.
He's my little shadow.
He's your baby.
I don't know. I have a bunch of siblings, and it's not like. I don't know.
It's not as romantic as I'm making it out to be.
There's something to be said for having one kid and being able to focus on that one kid financially.
I know I have it. Totally. I know I have it in a lot of ways so much easier than my friends with more than one kid. I mean, I can tell. Like, it's just a lot easier just in terms of being places, focusing, like you said, financially. The thing about having one kid, though, is you put all of your neuroses on one kid. There's no there's no like way to divide it. So it's like everything I could possibly worry about, it's all on him. I just worry about him constantly. And he's a great kid who doesn't cause trouble, but I constantly am worried just about like his future. Like, oh my God.
Totally makes sense. Christine, how many kids do you got? What's the situation at your house?
I have 9-year-old twins. A boy and a girl.
Whoa, twins.
They are often in conflict. But I will say this last week they've been getting along.
Yay!
So I'm going to call that a big success. They've been more friends than enemies. And except last night there was, just out of the blue, they're making a fort out of an old box because we got a new mattress. It's the old one against my wall in case you want to look at it. But they, you know, mattresses, how they come in the boxes now and unfold. And so they were like, can we have this box? And they love boxes, and they took it into the bedroom and they were making a fort and everything was great. And then suddenly we heard, get out of my room, you stupid idiot.
Oh,
and it was like, you stupid idiot, I wish you were never born, I hate you. And all I know is my husband took care of it because I had a headache and I was laying down from an earlier explosion. And
but this was a good day.
This might be the story that broke me later in the episode. And later on that evening, my husband said, I was so worried I took all the scissors out of the room.
Oh my God.
So I was like, that was probably a good move. They sounded pretty mad.
Damn.
And then a couple minutes later, they were like, Mom, we borrowed your phone and we did a photo video tour of our fort so we can show it to you later.
That's so cute.
It's like these huge thunderstorms that come in and sort of take them over and they go insane. And then a couple minutes later, they're like, hey, want to go jump on the trampoline?
Oh my God.
Like, I wish I could have that. Like, how kids, it's like they get so angry.
Emotion,
so
just recover.
Flexibility.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Then it also goes away really fast. It's like, for me, it kind of takes a while. It builds up slowly, you know, where I'm just like, if it's coming, it's coming. And then I explode. But then it also it takes me a while.
I'm like, destroyed. Yeah.
I'm like, dude. I envy that elasticity of emotion. Or maybe both my kids just have bipolar disorder and it hasn't been diagnosed yet.
And when one is up, the other's down. And then one is down, the other's up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
they need to get it in sync.
9 years old is also like a weird age in my experience because they're starting to get those like hormones and they're starting to kind of be in like hormonal flux and everything's like a little like crazy in their heads.
There's some intensity. I feel like my 9-year-old daughter is like 12 from our, like, my time period of what it meant to be 12. Cause I'm like, why are you going through all of this? And why do I need to get you deodorant already? And why are you like getting face breakout? Like, you're 9.
Yeah. This is my 9-year-old has to wear deodorant now too. And I just realized the other day that I have to show him how to wash his face.
Nine is the new 12.
It's so funny. It's so strange. I mean, before they were saying it was like the hormones in the milk and stuff, but you know, like a generation ago or like 10 years ago or something like that. Mm-hmm. That's why the kids were getting they're getting their periods earlier and getting just girls, bigger earlier.
Girls in her class have already started their period because she's asked
at
me. She's
9.
Like, when am I going to start my period? And I'm like, God, I hope not for 3 more years at least.
Yes. Does she want
both
it?
Both of us.
Yeah, right.
Does she what?
Does she want her period?
I can't quite tell.
Yeah.
I think I got my period when I was 10.
Really?
And that seemed kind of early at the time.
Yeah.
And I think at the time I was like, I want my period. But you know, we grew up with like Judy Blume and stuff. So it was like, I can't wait to get my period so I can pin it in my crazy underpants or whatever the fuck they did in Judy Blume books. It was always like antiquated.
You're not 74.
I am. I'm 75 actually. Thank you for thinking.
You look fantastic.
Thank you. My face is snatched, as they say.
Wait, I know a waist can be snatched. Can a face be snatched? I'm really asking. A face can be snatched?
I believe can be snatched. I mean, I think it's like a drag queen thing.
Yes.
They say like your face is snatched. And I think it does mean, like,
but it's also beat. You put a full beat
on.
It
is also beat. Yes.
Yeah.
I did beat my face earlier today.
Okay.
That means makeup, everybody. And also yeah, I feel like snatched is just like it's tight
extra.
and it's extra. Oh, my face!
You know,
is
we learn on Why Mommy Drinks. We learn.
Yes,
we do. It's an advice-free zone, but it's a pro-learning zone.
Yeah, I'm pro-learning always. And you're right. I think those Judy Blume books were sort of a generation, maybe like
before us.
Before us, in the same way, I think Beverly Cleary with Ramona, because I'm reading those to my daughter right now, and I'm like, wait, even I read these when I was a kid, and this still seems like a generation before me.
Yeah, I think they were. I think they were pretty old. I don't know, or maybe it was just very innocent. Ramona was just always bugged by her sister, right?
Isn't that the premise of Ramona and Beezus?
There's a lot of weird stuff that happens.
Beezus, yeah.
Like what? Beezus Christ. Yeah.
I know, it's so crazy that she got away with that when you think about it. The thing that stands out
in my mind, just because my kids are so, they can't stop talking about this, is that one night for dinner, the parents secretly feed, because the parents are financially strapped.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They feed them, they're eating beef, they think, and they're like, why is this kind of a little bit furry? Realize it's cow tongue.
Yeah. What?
And the kids are like mad about it. They're like, I'm not eating this. Why did you feed us cow tongue? We know we don't like this. Because the parents, it's cheaper. It's a cheaper cut of meat.
Wow.
And they complain about it, and they get in trouble for complaining and get grounded. And I'm like, every time my kids are mad about what I stir for dinner, and they're like, I don't want to eat gnocchi.
And you're like, at least it's not beef tongue.
Yeah, at least it's like, not tongue. Gross.
I'm like, those kids in Ramona complained and they got grounded. And you want me to make you something else because you don't like gnocchi?
Yeah. You don't like potatoes and pasta?
You're lucky I'm feeding you gnocchi.
Yeah. Oh, when we were kids, you would get punished for having feelings. Okay.
So I ate my extra ketchup with the spoon. My dad made me.
Wait, are you kidding?
No, I'm not.
Wait, what he didn't want you to waste ketchup? So if you had too much ketchup on your plate, he made you eat it with a spoon?
Yeah.
For a financial reason?
I think he To teach us not to waste,
yeah.
That's so repulsive. Who knows exactly how much ketchup they're going to need? You would need to be like a physicist.
Yeah.
Like, this is exactly how much ketchup I'm going to need for this meal.
And when you're a kid, you're like...
Yeah, of course you are.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's fun, for one.
Wait, did we have squeezes when we were... I remember.
It was a glass bottle.
I remember
bottle.
That glass bottle but, you know, hitting
oh,
it.
Oh, that's even harder, because you're banging it, and then you stick the fork or the knife in, and then it goes... everywhere.
Yeah, you can't control it. Your dad is psychotic. I'm sorry. That is bananas.
I hope you're listening to this, Dad. He doesn't know how to do... He's not even listening to my podcast. He doesn't know how to listen to podcasts.
My parents aren't either, but that's because I haven't told them yet.
Would your parents listen if they knew?
My...
Sigh.
That was a sigh with such weariness of the world.
Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I wrote on a scripted podcast last year called Dark Air with Terry Carnation. And it was Rainn Wilson co-created and starred on it.
Awesome. So I would send it from the office.
From the office. Sorry, Dwight from the office. And it was super fun. And I would send it to them. I mean, I told them about it. And my... They're the most computer illiterate people you could meet. And it's not just because their age, they are old, but it's also because like they weren't up with technology at any point in their lives. So it's extremely like...
Don't put them in front of a microwave.
No. Oh my God. My parents didn't get cable or therapy until my brother and I left the house. So they don't know how to use cable. We only had a VCR because my uncle gave us a VCR for a present. Like they just not.
Slow adapters.
So my mom listened to the podcast, but then it became, she's only going to listen to the ones I wrote. And I told them over and over and over again that it's a continuing story and you really should listen to it all. And
that's not how narrative forms work that way, Mom.
Yeah, that wasn't going to happen. Yeah. So she emailed me 5 times to ask me which episodes I wrote. I'm going to say 5. because she can't find... Danny, I can't find the email. I just can't find it. I'm like, okay. So I'm just... I'm imagining the hell of them figuring out how to play another podcast, A. And B... I haven't really talked that much about them, but I mean, I want to feel free to talk about them.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm a little bit sheepish for that reason, but I think I'll tell them this week. I'll just say, hey, this is what I've been doing. So, you know, because it makes them feel happy if I'm doing something. So, yeah. You know, it's a positive. I mean, they're very positive, supportive people. It's just, and then they're going to say like my mom has a habit of saying, and this won't happen in this case because it's not something that's written, but my mom has a habit of saying like, oh, I loved this line. Did you write that? And then I'll be like, no. And then, you know, just silence. So like, there's a history of that with me and my mom where like the it's thing she finds fraught. The funniest. Yeah, it's fraught.
Oh, no.
So,
is your mom funny, dad, Danielle? Is your mom
she's
funny?
She's a character. She's a character.
Got it.
She's an actress, and she's okay. Very theatrical, and she wants to be a gay man. Like, that's my mom. She's just very big and actressy, and she can be funny, but she's not super funny. My dad is funny also, but not. I feel like my comedy is really, it's a cliche, but it's really just from dealing with them all. Like, yeah. It was just really a defense more than, it's not like, I don't think I got my humor from them. But they can, I mean, my dad can be funny. Yeah.
You're funny because it's a coping mechanism that for we sure. have commodified or whatever.
Yes. Codified, commodified.
What does codified mean?
Oh. No, commodified was right. You were right. I don't know.
Reaction. We monetized it. How about that?
I want to monetize it some more.
Yeah.
Right? Wait. What were we talking about before we went on that whole tangent? I don't even know. We were talking about parents. Christine's...
Your dad and the ketchup.
My dad.
Yes.
Oh, right. Which reminded me, by the way, of you were talking about your parents and your podcast. I just learned last week that my dad has been listening to this podcast, which was a surprise and a shock because I did not know he knew how to listen to podcasts. And I did not know
but
that he
didn't
was
tell
listening.
You?
Well, he told me after the fact, which is
well,
his
how
want.
Many had
I
he,
mean,
how many had he listened to before he told you?
I don't know. He listened to a few.
Oh, okay. Did he have nice things to say?
Yeah. But, you know, I let it, I you know, it's a loosey-goosey show. I am very honest on this show about lots of different things. It's possible that I've never been I'm probably more honest with my audience than I am with my dad in real life.
Sure. Right.
So, sorry, Dad. You might be listening right now. Let me tell you what's been breaking me. I've been thinking about a bunch of different things. I mean, we sort of talked about it a bit before the show started. Just my son started sixth grade, and that's been a real big transition.
Yeah.
He's for the most part, he's like totally just into it. He's making friends.
Good.
He's really taking to the new responsibilities of lots of different classes and, you know, keeping track of his own schedule and where he needs to be and stuff like that. And that's all been really good. But then there's also been some sort of weird bullying things that have happened. And And my husband and I are trying to figure out the balance of defending him and making sure that he feels safe at school and feels like we have his back and that we are going to make sure that if anything bad happens, we are going to see it through. But then it also is what I am finding is you also don't want to be like a parent who complains and grouses about things so often that you just become sort of this white noise complaint person.
Yes.
So when things come up, on one hand, I want to address it right away and be like, this happened at school. It's unacceptable, blah, blah, blah. But then I also don't want them to be like, oh, fucking Rex's mom again. These people are never happy and always complaining and just like
What have their response been so far? Has the administration been responsive to you?
Well, so far, okay, so he had an experience where there was a kid that was like being really fucking weird and saying weird inappropriate things to him. Mm-hmm. Like really weird. And like sexual in nature. And it was like not cool. And of course, when he told me that, I was like, oh, okay. So I'm going to fucking kill that kid.
Right.
And all like, right. So I had to like, okay, no, it's fine. I'm not going to kill a child, but also that kid, I've memorized his face and I will hate him with my eyes forever.
Yeah.
but so, and then he also, okay, so that happened. He texted me from the after school program and he's like, this happened. And I was like, whoa, what the fuck? Like, tell the grown up who's there and tell them that I'm going to talk to them when I get there and blah, blah, blah. So I get there. I talk to the guy who's in charge. He's like, you know, I talked to the kid. The kid said he didn't do it. You know, no shit.
Right.
And, you know, and I was like, well, I'm going to talk to the principal, just FYI. He's like, okay, I'll make sure to back you up or whatever. Then as we're walking to the car that same day, my son is like, I overheard this other guy who works in this after school program who's like super young, like probably is just out of high school, say something fucked up to some girl in the program.
Oh, no.
Like, again, something like weird and sexual. And I was like, what the fuck? So my head burst into flames and it fell off my body. And when I put it back on, I sent off a message to the principal and I was like, here are two things. And they're both kind of awful and shocking. Here's this and here's this. So the next day, and they're like, we will handle this, ma'am. So they... Which, yeah, I love it. Nothing makes, well, I am 75, so.
Yeah, but you still, no one needs to be called ma'am. No, never. It's just not.
To be fair, they didn't call me ma'am, but they probably did call me mom.
I hate
when. Okay, mom.
When you bring your kid to the doctor and they're like, okay, mom, if you could just sit over here. It's so weird, isn't it?
Like, I hate it.
Isn't it the weirdest? Okay, mom, and if you could just fill out these papers. Why are you calling me mom? I don't like it.
Yeah,
just
I don't like
call
it.
Call me, hey, lady, if you need to.
Hey, bitch.
Hey, lady.
Yeah. What was that, Christine?
Hey bitch.
I might respond better.
Yes. It's you bitch Koenig to you.
Long it.
That'd be bizarre if someone said that. I'd be like, oh God, okay, well, things are much more casual than I realize. That would be amazing. Anyway, so I sent off this thing. They were like, we will take care of it, mom. Or maybe they're just being British, mom. Ma'am. And so the next day I had this long conversation with the guy who's at school who's like in charge of this shit. I don't know who he is. He's fucking, he's not the assistant principal. He's just like the guy who's in charge of discipline. I don't know what his deal is. Although his name, maybe I shouldn't say this. I'll say it and then maybe we'll bleep it out. His name is
with a Z?
With an S. And so every time
God, that's hysterical.
It is. So that always tickles us as comedians in this house every time we talk to him, even though we only talk to him about like sad, serious things. So he goes into this whole thing about how he's like, I did an investigation. I interviewed all of the students involved. I spent all day on this. I'm making him out to sound like an asshole. He was great. He really looked into it. He talked to all the kids. But at the end of the day, it all came down to my son said that this happened. The other kid says that it didn't. It didn't. Right. My kid said this guy who worked there did this thing. But he doesn't know who the girl is, and no one knows who she is. So nothing was able to be sort of dealt with. Right. And even though no one thought he was lying, it also kind of was like this big thing. And they were like, well, did Has anything else happened that we could maybe follow up on? I'm like, no, I fucking told you everything. And also the way that this guy dealt with it, he was seriously, like, I kept wanting to be like, are you a cop? What is happening? The way he spoke, it was like he was a fucking New York City detective. It was so weird. But yeah, so.
Yeah, I was.
It's just kind of.
It's tougher. I was telling you before the show started that my son was also bullied in sixth grade, beginning of middle school. And I mean, our school, he went to a very, it was a charter school, and it was very, you know, everyone needs to be safe. Everyone needs, you know, it was very touchy feely sort of thing, but it ended up where like they almost wanted him to like make up with the kid. And I'm like, why does he have to make up with the kid? He didn't do jack shit. The kid was, he actually had several different bullies, but there was one particular one. Yeah, it was really weird. It just kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, he's very small, so that was part of it. He's you know my husband. We're short people, so he's very small. And I guess that's a good enough reason as any to be mean to someone, you know, their height.
Something
they literally have no control over.
Yeah.
And means nothing. So one time my son took his... He just had enough, and he took his notebook and hit the kid over the head with it. And I was like, "Yeah, I mean, how much are you supposed to take? I get it.
Yeah,
he didn't really. That he didn't seems get like in a trouble
natural
because
consequence.
Yeah, because the school was like, yeah. I mean, they weren't, you know, they weren't happy about it, but it wasn't like he got suspended or anything, you know. But
they're like, you know what? It's fine. Look, we're gonna look the other way.
This
just handle your business.
But it was, you know, it's such a cliche, but it comes
after school. Yeah. Sorry, go on.
No. I was just going to say, it's such a cliche, but it comes from the parents. Like, you can tell these parents aren't involved because no one who cares about their kids would let them be assholes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? For sure.
The things that he's telling me that they're saying, I'm like,
yeah,
this doesn't come out of nowhere. This is clearly right. Their parents are assholes or like they're toxic people in their life. That was the other thing. It was like the weird sexual thing that this kid said to my son. I was like, this kid is being exposed to stuff in his life that he shouldn't be exposed to.
Right.
Yeah. And it makes me worry for that kid. And that was the other. Oh.
Yeah.
So I wanted to protect my son, but also I felt bad for this kid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. I had the same feeling. I was like, wow, this really sucks for this kid, but also stop taking it out on my son.
Yeah. Like, I'll kill you, but also.
But also, sorry.
I'm so sorry that people aren't taking care of you in your life.
Yeah.
Because
we've got a kid in class this year who's been picking on Benjamin. He's kind of doing it to everyone, though. I mean, my daughter says every time she passes him, he shoves her.
Whoa.
And
at nine.
And he's called, Benjamin, a lot of it has to do with Benjamin asking him to put his mask on.
Yes.
And Benjamin, he called Benjamin a COVID freak, and he called him a fucking idiot.
Did he call him a libtard?
Another day, but also in the same.
Did he call him a cuck? Like a liberal cuck?
Interestingly enough, it's the same group in there's a like a sort of parent text chain.
Yeah.
And his mom is the one who put out the announcement for like a mask. A vaccination protest.
No.
At the school district. And when it's not even mandated, and we're in the GUSD school district, and it's not even mandated that teachers get vaccinated.
Yeah, so who's she protesting?
So a parent said it's not mandated in Glendale Unified yet that teachers are even vaccinated. And she was like, well, it's coming. And I was like, well, I think I know. Apple does not fall far from the tree.
So did she get any takers, this woman?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, no one responded to it except for a woman to say, you know, hey,
it's
this
not
isn't
mandated.
Actually.
Yeah. You're protesting something.
It's weird to protest something that hasn't actually occurred yet.
Right.
But luckily no one was like, yeehaw, thumbs up, you know, like.
Good.
Yeah. Yeehaw. It was more like a crazy person on the train, and everyone was just like, oh,
let's just avert our gaze.
Just send emojis of like cuckoo heads, like, you know, with like birds flying around the emoji
face. There needs to be an emoji that like is the perfect response to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there are mask emojis.
Mm-hmm. That would be a funny.
There is a little bit of a crazy face.
There's a crazy face I use frequently. Yeah. It's like, ooh.
Yeah,
I need, I need to go back and crazy face emoji that.
God, that's crazy.
That will be productive, I'm sure.
So, you know, but I also, I had that same, when you were talking, Betsy, I had that same urge when he came home. Oh, and he's also called Benjamin Gay many times. And I have to, you know, explain, which I have many times to my kids.
Because of Ben Gay?
That like... Oh, that's...
Oh, yeah, why?
I think that reference probably doesn't...
oh, that's clever. Okay.
It's clever, but I don't think my kids know about Ben Gay. But...
how do these kids know about Ben Gay?
No, I think because he saw Benjamin dancing once, and he was like, you're gay.
Oh.
And so I've had to, you know, again, say to my kids, you know, it's not a bad thing to be gay. And,
right.
Which they know that. I mean, they had a friend, they watched a friend transition from, you know, they have a trans friend. So it's like mm-hmm. They've grown up in a very accepted environment for, right. you know, many different kinds of sexuality and gender transitions. And if I'm saying words wrong right now, somebody just send me a crazy face emoji and right. I'll get it. So it wasn't like, oh, this is the first time I told them, like, but just to remind them, like, that's what he's saying isn't even an insult. Like,
exactly. Yeah.
But, it's just like a weird.
But when you're nine, it feels like an insult.
But it's also interesting because
it's intended to be an insult.
Exactly, you get what the intent is, whether or not. That's exactly right. That's exactly
right. And mm-hmm. another kid just yesterday at the park, Benjamin said, "Oh, you know, I don't want to say the kid's name just because I want to protect this family, and I don't give a shit about that other one." But like, he said, "You know, oh, he says a lot of bad words. We were playing handball, and he called me a fucking retard."
Whoa.
And I was like, wait, that's still going around? Like, I thought that kids didn't even know that was a word that was a
yeah.
like, I thought that had died. Like,
yeah.
So I'm like, is that something, how are they learning about that? Is that,
yeah.
Are they watching YouTube and people on YouTube still say it? Are parents still saying it?
I hear
they
there's a lot
be.
Of, I'm going to sound like an old lady, but I hear there's a lot of, you know, the video gaming where you can do it with other people in, what is it, like online video gaming, but you can do it with other people, you know, who you don't know.
Is it networking? Is it, what is that called?
I don't know. We're just
online gaming. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know either.
And they swear constantly at each other. I've mm-hmm. heard tapes of that. They just like swear constantly, like little kids swearing. Mm-hmm. And so that's one possibility.
Yeah.
If it's not the parents, it's could be something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I blame the parents first, but
I think what we want to put out there on this show is that blame parents, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
That's the main that's like thrust. Dick.
That's what you're trying to put out into the universe, right,
mm-hmm.
Betsy?
Yeah,
parents are always at fault when it's yes, not the exactly. ones we like,
right? If it's us,
it's us.
I mean, my 5-year-old says, when he gets really mad at his brothers, I've said this before, he says, fuck you, to his brothers. Does anyone, does my husband and I don't walk around being like, fuck you to anybody.
Yeah.
Not even in the car when we get mad. So mm-hmm. I don't know where the hell this comes from.
Do you ask him where he gets it?
No, because honestly, no, I have not asked him.
It's probably his older brothers.
Every time he says it, like, it just, I think this, like, curtain of shame and bewilderment just kind of comes over us. Mm-hmm. Like, why is our 5-year-old saying that? I don't know if it came from, an older brother, maybe mm-hmm. said it once, and he was mm-hmm. like, yes,
that's
this is
word.
My new saying. Everyone flips out when I say this, so I know that this is, like, my biggest sort of thing in my arsenal.
Right. He's getting the reaction he wants. So
yeah.
you just have to meet him.
Not make a big deal out of it. Like, my kids went through hardcore saying the F word phase, but I know it was from me. So I only had myself to blame because I have a trash mouth. Like, I say bad words all the time. So I was like, well, I can't. It's my fault.
2020 was a real doozy. And if you're anything like everyone else, you might be feeling like it's time to get some help and talk with someone. BetterHelp is a customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. You don't even have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. I don't know anyone who isn't struggling right now, and it doesn't hurt to reach out for help. You deserve to feel happy. So what is therapy exactly? Well, it's whatever you want it to be. You can get help with motivation, depression, anxiety. Maybe you're having anger issues, stress, dealing with insecurity in relationships or at work. Maybe difficulties with your romantic relationships or your kids. Whatever you need. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. I tried it out and I was amazed at how easy it was to find a therapist, and I was really impressed by how quickly they reached out to me. So join the millions of people who are seeing what therapy is really about. See if it's for you, because you are your greatest asset. You gotta put your oxygen mask on first before you can help everyone else. So for Why Mommy Drinks listeners, BetterHelp is gonna give you 10% off your first month if you go to betterhelp.com/drinks. So again, that's betterhelp.com/drinks. And let's slide into 2021 feeling strong, happy, and healthy. Well, hey, I would love to hear a story from one of you about a time that you were broken, if you wouldn't mind telling us.
Sure. Forgive my chewing. That was obnoxious. So this was recent over the, okay, so my son stayed home during the whole pandemic. Even when the kids were allowed to go back, he wanted no part of it.
Last spring.
Yes. Sorry, last spring in Los Angeles, they were given the option. He wanted no part of it. He's like, I don't want to get sick. He's just really worried about the pandemic. So he'd been home for basically a year and a half. And I was already feeling as we were going into summer, like, Jesus, we've got to do something. We can't just be in the house all day, every day. Like, I don't know what to do anymore. He's at an age where, you know, he was 13. And it's like, well, what am I going to do? He did like one online camp, which was just stand up once a week. And he actually liked that for the summer, but that was once a week. So like, what are we going to do for the rest of the time? So then stand-up I started
camp for kids. That's amazing. Yeah.
It was fantastic. Yeah, through Second City.
They have great classes. My kids took their improv class. Yeah, it's good times.
Yeah, well, when he was younger, he did the improv camp every summer. So I was doing my favorite thing, beating myself up for the kind of things I've exposed him to. And my son is not an outdoor plant. He's an indoor plant. He does not like anything to do with nature, outdoors, animals, nothing. So I'm starting to beat myself up. Like, why hadn't I exposed him more to, you know, being outside? Why, you know, so that we could do something and go somewhere and like, we don't hike or camp or like, we got to be those kind of people. And so I'm just beating myself up.
Well, Danielle, are you and your husband, were you indoor kids?
Yes.
You were. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I was an indoor kid, and I did watch a lot of television. But I also went to ballet 5 to 6 times a week. So I was doing something. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
But also I was an Olympian. So there's that.
But I was still technically indoors when I was doing ballet.
Fair.
I mean, I like the beach and stuff. He doesn't even like the beach. He doesn't like to get dirty. He doesn't, you know, he's George Costanza. Like, he's in his sweatpants. He's at home. You know, he loves pop culture. He's like obsessed with movies and TV. And kids his age don't even watch TV and they don't even know what he's talking about. But
he's great with adults. Like,
what?
He's great with adults.
He is good. Yeah. He can be really good with adults, especially if they're comedians or something. So so I was feeling guilty. Also, I have to say that apparently my antidepressant medication needed a booster, which I didn't realize at the time because I was having like obsessive thoughts. Not obsessive, but when I say obsessive thoughts, I don't mean anything bad, like I was going to hurt someone. Just obsessing about all this kind of stuff. Like, I couldn't get it out of my head. Like, I have done something wrong. You know, he needs to be more like this. He needs to be more like that. That kind of thing. That's what I was saying.
And everyone one was cuckoo bananas in their heads at this point also. Yeah. Just being inside it forever.
Right.
Especially with kids.
Oh, right.
I mean, just the most stable of all of us who weren't medicated before were probably going insane. So for those of us who are already like medicated and having, you know, I'll speak for myself, having trouble just kind of day to day keeping it together. It was just like, the greatest, biggest cherry on the sundae of difficult. Nope. I don't know. I can't finish that one.
See, it made you speechless.
I was with you.
I got it. We got it all down. So his one sport is, you know, he's not a sport kid. He doesn't join things. He's not like, so his one sport is ping pong. And he's pretty good at it. And he's taking lessons and obviously wasn't going during COVID. And then we went once and the adults weren't, some of the adults weren't wearing masks. And
what
that really pissed him off and made him super uncomfortable. And this was right after he had gotten vaccinated. But still, he's just extra worried about it. So we're like, oh, fuck, now we can't go again. And then as it was getting towards summer, we're like, well, maybe we can start going. We'll see what the protocol is, you know. Da, da, da. So one night, my husband and I go out to dinner, which with two other couples, something we've never, ever done before. We're not like big social people. We don't go out to dinner with two couples. And we left him alone.
I'm so jealous of people who can and do.
Yeah, I know. Well, it felt very liberating. So we left him alone. And we've left him alone a million times, but never at night. I wasn't worried. I was just like, oh, okay, this is the first time. No one was worried. It was fine. So we get
to the
restaurant.
13 is a really good time for that, right?
Yeah.
Good age for that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I was, you know, I'm happy because he's kind of young in some ways. So I was glad that, like, he wasn't worried. He was excited. He was going to watch, Pulp Fiction.
Oh.
Close.
Okay.
So, so as we're at the restaurant, outdoors, of course, I was like, you know what? Just in case, I better put my phone on the table. Just in case he calls. You know, I'm sure everything will be fine. And we had taken the train to eat, so we didn't have our car. So it was just a nice, you know, night, and we're enjoying it, and we're having fun, and we're laughing. And the phone rings, and I pick it up, and he's like, "Mom, I fell." I was like, "What do you mean you fell?" He's like, "I fell and I landed on my arm." And I'm like, "What?" And he's like, "Yeah, it really hurts." I was like, okay, we're coming right now. So
good job.
Well, I mean, what else am I going to do? So I tell Jimmy, I'm like, okay, he really hurt himself. And Jimmy's like, what? He didn't hurt himself. Come on, that's ridiculous.
See, but that's me.
But he's not
come on.
But he's not that kind of person. He wouldn't, like, out of nowhere say he hurt himself if he didn't. Like, I knew it had to be bad.
Yeah.
So Jimmy calls him, and he's crying now. And he's in a lot of pain. So,
oh, no.
Long story short, he broke his arm. He literally.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for laughing.
That's no, awful. It's hysterical. Because.
The one time he's home, the one time you go out and he breaks his arm.
And we didn't have a car. So we had to run back. So now I'm like half drunk. No. I'm half drunk and we have to run back to the train. And I'm wearing like sandals. So I'm not even like in running shoes. So I'm running back. And we're like, oh, God, what happened? And we get him, and he's like, I'm sorry. We're like, no, honey, it's fine. It's okay. And we take him to this urgent care place, and they were like, our cutoff's at 8, and it was 8:05. So they wouldn't see him.
No,
I'm not kidding.
Yourself.
So, like, and he's like, he's in massive pain. And they're like, I'm so sorry. Yeah. It's the rules. I'm like, I mean, I get it. They have to cut it off at some point. So we went to an ER.
Not the arm, but the yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we went to an ER, and yeah, not the arm. And we get the pictures taken and, you know, the x-rays, and I'm in the waiting room, and this is like at the beginning of summer, and I'm like, oh shit, please don't let it be broken. And my husband and son went in, and they come out and they go, yeah, it's broken. And I'm like, fuck. So The whole premise of telling you the story ahead of time about how I felt so guilty was just like, okay, so now 6 to 8 more weeks of no physical activity. We're still not going to do anything. It's still going to be home. He's still, and of course, And then I had this kind of swimming.
No beach.
Right. Yeah. Oh, we had to cancel it. We were going to go to Palm Springs, and then we had to cancel it because, I mean, you could get the thing for the arm, but it's just not as it's good. He had a trip with Jimmy to go to Chicago. They did actually go, but they couldn't. He couldn't do some of the stuff they were going to do, and da da.
And I was just like, headstands, just all headstand trips. Yeah.
Headstand trips. Oh my god.
What did they plan that they couldn't do with a broken arm? Horseback
golfing.
Riding?
No, what? It was going to be like the three generations going golfing. And my husband and his dad did go golfing, and my son went with them, and he just drove the cart and apparently ran it into a fucking post because he's not. Like, yeah. So.
Hilarious, because I was like, oh, that's amazing. If I was 13, 14, and someone was like, this golf course, I'd be like, yes. It's, but I guess he was kind of doing it with one and a half arms.
Like, he's just like, doesn't have a lot of common sense. Like, he's a really bright kid. You know, he's a straight-A kid. He's really smart. He's doing, you know, 11th grade math in 9th grade, but he doesn't have common sense. So he doesn't know, now put your foot on the brake, dumb shit. Like, you know, stuff like that. So I don't really think my son's a dumb shit, but. So,
I feel ya.
The good thing is, you know, he's with grandpa and grandpa is laughing about it. So, you know, my husband couldn't even get upset because it was just sort of amusing. But but he could actually do mini golf. He did do mini golf with the broken arm. But anyway,
amazing.
And he at the time had this little business of making these figures. Well, he couldn't do that because his hand was completely incapacitated. So it was just like, I can't explain it. It's a little inexplicable, but I was so depressed about this whole turn of events. And then it was like, and then we had to tell people how we broke his arm. And I was like, dude, you got to make up a better story. Because getting up from watching Pulp Fiction and to go to the bathroom and get a snack and slipping on the tile and breaking your arm is a really lame story. And he's like, I know. It's just like, because it was hilarious. It was so on brand for him that like, that's how he broke his arm. It's nothing athletic. Like, no, wasn't in judo. No, I'm not playing football. He was watching Pulp Fiction. So, yeah. So
a friend of mine recently got brain damage. She was sitting on the couch, got her foot got kind of tangled in her pants, and she just fell face first onto the floor and got brain damage.
Oh my god.
People get fucked up in really fucked up ways. Yeah, Emily, she was on the Residuals episode a few episodes ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, she just have to go back and listen to that. That's insane.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But that's really the other thing. People kept asking, well, how did he do it? And I tell them, and they're like, but I don't understand. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. He slipped and fell. There's no other. But they were like, but how did he do that? I'm like, what do you mean? Have you never slipped? So it was really.
And then you're like, look, I wasn't there. I wasn't drunk.
I was drinking. I don't know what happened. I can't tell you. So,
oh man.
It was the summer before he went to high school. So I had all these, you know, he just started high school. So I had all these like, I can't explain it. I just was beating myself up. And then I was like, of course this happened. He handled it much better than I did. As per usual, he handled it much better. So that was a bad moment for sure.
Well, the pandemic robbed us of so much. And I'm sure part of your feelings in that moment were feeling like you could make up for some lost time now that he was vaccinated. And,
exactly.
You know, oh, we're going to make up for maybe some of these little kid, like childhood stuff that we got robbed of for the last year and a half or whatever. Oh, that's rough. I'm so sorry that
okay.
That just sucks.
He's okay. The cast is off. We went to Palm Springs. Cast is off. Good. He started high school without the cast on, so that was great. That's it came good. Off right before Yay! High school started, so that was fantastic and
great.
I was just gonna say we went out the other night again and we're like, don't break anything,
just sit there, don't
down.
Go anywhere,
hold it,
lie down in your bed, we're just gonna hold tie it. You to the bed until we get back. Yeah, that'll
okay? be fine,
just
you'll
sleep
fine. Right.
Oh, that's so fraught, like That's so sad.
Yeah.
I hate that he was like excited to be home alone. You were like, we're excited to go out. Yeah. It was like a real kind of maiden voyage for everyone.
Right.
And just ended on such a sad trombone.
I know. Had to leave dinner the whole bit. Bad news.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That whole social thing, I just brag, got an Airbnb for the winter.
Nice.
For three nights. It's a big deal for me to do this in advance and to actually pay money to go on a vacation.
That's a great idea.
But, right? I'm excited. We're going to see snow. I hope it snows. But... there were all these like expensive houses that you could get on Airbnb. And I was like, oh, maybe I should see if friends want to go. And then I was like, that sounds exhausting to like go away with friends and their kids and like never be alone. I don't know. But
yeah,
stuff like that. I feel like a lot of other people are like, of course we went with friends. It was fun.
Yeah, we're not those people.
Yeah, it can be very taxing.
It is very taxing.
I mean, I wish we were those kind of people, but we're just not.
Me too. I wish I was a morning person. I wish I was more socially comfortable. I wish I was a baller.
I wish you were a little bit taller.
Yes.
I really 100%. See you as a baller, Betsy.
Thank you,
I remember getting my feelings hurt over COVID because when it sort of started, when everyone realized, oh, this is forever, people started forming their pods.
Yeah.
And I was like, no one's asking us to be in a pod. Like, everybody's forming these pods. And like, I guess it's just like, I guess it's like that thing where I always find ways to get my feelings hurt.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I guess it's because I suck and people don't like me. Because
yes.
Everyone's in a pod.
I would 100% get my feelings hurt if I found out pods were happening around me and I wasn't included. So yeah, I feel you.
It was this thing, yeah, where it was like, I just felt like, oh, well, they already made a pod and I don't get to be in it. And we're in a pod. And I don't get to be in it. And there's all these pods and I'm not in it. And fuck it. I guess it's, now the truth comes out and it's just what I suspected.
Yeah. FOMO about pods.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. But you did eventually join a pod, didn't you?
I did. Yes.
Yeah. I was scared of the whole pod.
That was a school pod just for the kids.
Oh.
It wasn't like because people formed these like social friendship pods where it was like they agreed to only hang out together.
Right.
And they would get together for dinners. And they'd go on trips together. And it was like this, like, it was almost like people were forming these like polyamorous, weird relationships, except maybe not. I don't think they were having sex, but like, hey, I don't know. And I was like, I guess we just don't have that intense level of friendship with other couples where we're like, we're just going to see each other because it worked out so well that like the women are such close friends and the men are such close friends and the kids are such close friends.
We like to fuck each other. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I love that husband's body and my husband loves the wife and like we all just get together and groove.
Swinging pods.
And groove. But I was like, people were doing that shit.
It's just like Fleetwood Mac. Everyone's like fucking each other.
Forming Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, Fleetwood Mac.
We're gonna write songs about each other.
Yeah, and I was no one Stevie.
Oh,
I wasn't even a Christine McVie.
You weren't even Christine McVie. Oh. So sad.
I'm so sorry. I felt that way too. I wouldn't even find out until much later, and people would always be like, "You're not in a pod."
Yeah,
and I'm like, no.
See,
It was like in class, everyone's like, everyone find a partner. And you turn around and everyone's got a partner.
Oh,
and you're like,
but
so I'm like, well, I guess just find a couple that you can go with. And then everyone's like, no. That's what it felt like. Sorry, Danielle. What were you saying?
No, I was just going to say I wasn't invited to a pod, but I didn't even think about forming a pod because to me it sounded like bullshit. I was just like, how is this any safer? I don't understand. Like, no, stay home. Don't go anywhere. You don't know what other people are doing. I understand now that people were taking it very seriously. Just to me, it seemed like, no, the idea is to limit exposure as much as possible. So, like, we had a thing where our son's good friend and her parents came, and we all hung out outside. But we were like on one end of the yard and they were on the other end of the yard. We were just not taking chances. We were just like, you know, we just didn't know what it was. So, and I encouraged my son to have friends over at that time outside. And he did for his 13th birthday. Nice. Like, they watched a movie outside. They measured in between each chair. You know, this was before they were vaccinated, before they had the vaccine. Yes. So, like,
that's cute.
And they were wearing masks, and we're like, you don't have to wear a mask outside. But he's just so overly protective about it. But, good. So I didn't think the pot thing made any sense. So I was
I don't think it really, I mean, I think in the end, like, whenever I would talk to someone who was in a pod, it was all drama. It was Fleetwood Mac. They'd be telling stories about how, like, well, you know, so-and-so in the pod, it turns out they did go to Vegas for a wedding.
Exactly.
And, like, then they didn't tell us. And I was
like. Exactly. That's why I was like, what? That's bananas. Yeah.
Like, I heard people talking about it sort of like what you were saying about, like, polyamorous relationships. It was like, we had a conversation about what we thought was safe and what everyone agreed upon, and we had a safe word. And
we had a sex dungeon, and we wiped it down with Clorox, and we all wore masks on top of our pimp masks, and everything was
whenever we got in our pod, we all wore condoms. It was weird, I know, but
we wiped down the condoms.
We sprayed it with bleach.
And after. We washed our hands during sex. We gave hand jobs with gloves on. You know, we follow the rules. That's what you gotta do. You follow the rules.
Dental dams. Does anyone use dental dams? Is that a thing that people
I've never met one person who's used that.
I don't.
I've never.
No.
No.
Who's interacted with one of those outside of a sex ed class, I wonder?
I mean, I think it's probably really important if you have something to use it, but I don't need oral sex that badly. I mean, I don't.
Yeah.
Like, it just seems like a fruit roll-up paper. It is. Isn't like it like the stuff that the cellophane.
Yeah. That's how I picture it. I've seen one in person.
I haven't either.
No, I've
seen one in sex ed. That was the only time I've ever dealt with one. Maybe I saw one in, like, a sex shop once.
That's pretty just progressive of your school, I think, to deal with dental dams.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were pretty progressive, I guess. It was an Episcopalian school, but, they made sure that we knew what was up. Yeah.
But I don't think – I never saw, like, a condom go on a banana. I never saw
– Oh, that I did see.
We did that.
We didn't do that. It was just, I think, a video.
Yeah. About, like, putting deodorant on.
People having...
Yeah,
it was right? Like, wasn't that, like, your sex ed was, like, you have to keep yourself clean. As you get older, you're going to have to keep yourself clean.
And you're going to have a period... Like, I think it was more like, here's your uterus, and here are your fallopian tubes, and your body's going to change, and... I don't even know. I really don't remember anything about actual sex being talked about, but it probably was, and I just don't remember it.
Yeah.
Well, it was always talked about, like, really...
Very clinical, like biologically, but it wasn't like
The sperm meets the egg.
Yes,
like how that happened beforehand.
Yeah, we're not gonna talk about that.
I remember I was a chaperone on a school trip that the kids took to San Diego Zoo or the wild animal park, or I think it was the zoo,
the safari park.
I can't remember if it was the safari. I think it was the safari park. And they got to sleep over, and it was really cool. And they slept in tents.
That's very cool. Yeah.
It was really neat. I know.
We did that at the LA Zoo, and it's super fun. If you ever wanted to.
I've seen that advertised, but see, my son would never go. I mean, this was a school thing, he had to do it. But
fair.
But he was like in maybe second or third grade or something. And I remember them all sitting around, and the zookeeper lady was holding an animal. I don't remember what it was. And someone said, and she was talking about how it mates and it has babies or something. And my son, who is not actually, this was sort of out of character. He asked, so he's not one of those kids who's like really brazen about like asking questions, but he said, well, how do they do that? And she said, like humans. And that was her answer. So I pulled him aside and I was like, okay, I guess I'm telling him right now. So I was like, okay, so, and I told him, I go, the penis goes in the vagina, and I told him the whole thing. And I think that's probably the most I don't even think they deal with it in school. I don't know. They don't deal with it very And then since then, he's watched Pulp Fiction. So he's got the whole thing.
That was probably why he broke his arm.
I know. He was just like, whoa.
Oh, wait, what did you say,
Chris? Wait a second.
I should walk to the bathroom. I just learned
he
some
ran
shit.
To the bathroom like a fucking cartoon. Like, and then he fell.
Both coming out of his ears.
Oh, God.
Texas style.
His eyes got big, hearts.
Yes.
You know, we have the book. Do you guys know about the book from like the 70s about
where how babies are made?
What's
where
that?
Did I come? Where did I come from?
Where did I come from? Yeah,
of course.
I got that at a thrift store, and it doesn't include anything about like girls and girls and boys, so it's not super progressive, but it's still very cute and sweet and done.
Yeah.
And so I just bought it and put it on the shelf and figured when they were interested, we could read it. And Alex became interested very early. That's my daughter. And so she was like, let's read this. And we started reading it. And Benjamin was there. And we got to the part, I think, just where it was like, you know, the man and the woman start to cuddle each other. And Benjamin was like, I'm out, and walked out the door.
That's so cute.
And he's never wanted to crack the book since.
But she has?
Oh, she's read it multiple times. I feel like she reads it like every month. She's like, let's bring this book out. She's very fascinated. But she's like, I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
I just remember the illustrations of sort of like chubby people with pubic hair.
Yes.
That's what I remember.
Yes. They're very Rubenesque.
Yeah.
We had a book in my house. I don't know if it's the same one. It was like a lot of photographs in utero of a baby getting bigger. Oh. It wasn't like anti-choice propaganda or anything. It was just like, it sounds like it is. Like,
now your baby is a human being legally and it has a heartbeat.
but I feel like there were, either illustrations or even pictures, like not, you know, of vaginas and penises like doing their things, but just like people sort of embracing or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Very like 70s, lots of pubic hair. Yeah,
it's interesting though, because you know, we go to Germany a lot. My husband's German, and so one year, I don't know, these guys were like five or whatever, six, we went to just a general like science museum, regular standard small museum in Hamburg where he's from. And like a whole huge room is dedicated to childbirth and pregnancy, but it's geared towards kids, and they're not and then there's books everywhere with just naked people. And there's like in one corner, there's this huge like yarn crafted woman, and her legs are open, and you can go inside and like pull out this baby that's like attached with like the placenta and with the
yarn placenta.
What's that?
Yarn placenta.
Yes, it's like they're so like, well, we don't care if you want them to know.
They're gonna know
in this room, because we're like free and open, and we assume your kids already, you've talked to them, because you're not a fucking weirdo.
You're not a weirdo American.
Yeah, so you're not some weird, like, uptight.
What, do you not believe in science? What kind of dumb wouldn't believe in science?
But it's all very geared towards kids just being like, yeah, this is how it happens. And there's pictures. It's like you can just open a book and there's like a man putting his penis in a woman's vagina. It's like, no big deal. They're very I think so. I mean, I could be making that part up. They're showing porn on a wall, but like.
Right.
Yeah.
They're just so very open about it.
Yeah.
Very factual. So,
yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
That makes sense. Like yeah. My dad and my stepmom and my sister were visiting last week, and I grew up with a lot of body shame, so I've been trying really hard with my kids to not have not instill that,
right.
To really try to stop that cycle. And it probably has a lot to do with religion and just having like boomer parents. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And my kids, you know, they walk around naked, not like gratuitously so, but like if they're in their bedroom, they might walk out into the hallway without clothes on or something and be like, I need pajamas, or, you know, which is like almost daily. I'm always like, I'll just go dig through the clean laundry. I'll be back.
God forbid they get like, themselves.
Well, if they do that, then they're going to pull all of the clean laundry mountain down on the floor, and then they'll just leave it there.
Okay,
so I'm like, I'll fucking get it. So But my dad was like, boy, they sure are open being naked or something like that. Yeah. I was like, well, yeah.
Yeah.
What? Why are we talking about this?
Right. Because it's weird to them. I mean, it's just different.
Weird to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I mean, my son doesn't walk around naked, but that's just his own decision, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever like shamed him into... But I probably would be a little startled if he was walking around naked at this age. I'd probably be startled.
Yeah. He's older, too. I think that probably changes.
Oh, yeah. Your oldest is only 11, right? Yeah. Oh, okay. That's a big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we certainly are getting to a point where we're like, oh, yeah, I guess maybe I should not be naked in front of you and maybe you shouldn't. I don't know. It's really weird to navigate.
What the psychological ramifications are of that. I'm sure you know, Christine, that in Germany and other countries, like, people, even like adults, are naked around each other.
In Germany anyway, it's like spas where everyone's just still naked at the spa, the adults and the kids, and you know, at beaches a lot of the times people will just change on the beach into their bathing suit. And it's not a big deal because people are very much, it's not as much. I mean, you know, I was in Europe, not with my husband because we haven't been married that long, but like when I was in my 20s, I remember being in Europe and it was way more even open. So I think they've gotten more American there.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like, so it is still, it's gone in a direction that's more sort of privacy and less of the balls in the face and at the beach, which I don't mind, frankly. I don't need to see like an old man's balls, but like, I like that
they're putting balls in a face. Maybe that's not great.
I don't need the saggy balls, but I do like how chill they are about that kind of stuff and how
just like, this is a body.
It's a body. It's not fucking a big deal.
We've all got a body. Yeah.
But on the other hand,
a naked body is not by definition sexual on its own.
Yeah, so
we don't need to make it like weird.
Yeah,
my friend who's American and lives in Holland now, but her husband, I can't remember if he's Danish or German. He's one of the two. He's either Danish or German. Mm-hmm. And they were like on a holiday, and his sister, his adult sister, who's like apparently hot, is walking around naked, and I'm like. I could see where that would really freak me out. I understand. Like, that's weird. That's your sister. Why are you seeing your hot adult sister naked?
Like put some clothes on.
I don't. Yeah, I'm.
I don't know.
I think the Americans got something on that one. We're on to something with that. A little bit of shame. A little bit isn't going to hurt you.
Just have some pasties and a
thong at least. Come on, have some respect.
That will make it less weird.
Yeah,
tell your sister to go put on pasties and a thong, and then come back in here and talk to us about whatever it is. Yeah, Christine, can you please tell us a story of a time that your children drove you to drink, figuratively or literally?
It's pretty often. I'm gonna just try to wrap this up in a not super long fashion because it's kind of an ongoing issue. My kids do not stay in their beds. And they have not done that for years. And we have worked on it and worked on it. And we are in a phase right now where we are currently working on it again. So we are working with a therapist to re-sleep train our 9-year-olds.
Wow.
Oh my God, that's a nightmare, Christine.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
I feel like we had a phase when they were infants up until like the age of 2 where they like, where it was great. I mean, that wasn't great. Don't get me wrong. They were twins, but like where they would sleep in their beds because they couldn't crawl out of them. And then when they started sleeping, you know, as soon as they could crawl out of their cribs, it was like, well, my sleep is fucking over.
So they come and sleep with you guys.
So in the middle of the night, they wake up and they come crawl into our bed. And they're big. Like my daughter weighs 95 pounds. And she's tall. And my son's skinnier, but littler. But still, it's 2 kids. And a pit bull who also sleeps in her bed at night.
And because, a pit bull? Oh, no!
Because she gets cold. It's getting colder now. So she sneaks in, too.
Do you have a... And your big German husband. You have a king-size bed.
We have a California king, luckily. But it's my husband's 6'4".
Yes.
No.
So I sleep like in a curled up ball. And then every day I'm like, why am I in pain? I'm
always in pain. There's five living things in this bed.
No, I woke up like 10 minutes before this taping because I'll tell you about my night. This is
so sorry. Awful.
So the treatment, the recipe for success, apparently, from the therapist is we encourage them with rewards if they stay in their bed.
Okay.
If they stay in their bed all night long, they get a fidget or like a squishy. These are, I don't know if you have any kids right now, Betsy, that are into fidgets, but fidgets are big.
The fidget spinner?
A big deal to 9-year-olds. Well, no, they're all kinds of fidgets. Had one there. They're and you get them, they're cheap. They're going to, I'd like to call them future landfill because they're all plastic and cheap and junk, but it's like, I'm desperate.
Gotcha.
So you order them
it's
from
like the toys my kids get from the dentist and they're.
Yes. And they trade them. Trading them at school and Pop-Its. Do you guys know about Pop-Its?
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh God. Pop-Its.
Is it
that black thing that you put on the ground and it pops up? No.
No. It looks I wish I should have brought some, but I didn't realize this
it's
was
like a bunch
talk
of little dots,
and
right?
They're colorful, and you can push and you pop it through almost like the pop stuff that you get when you order something, but it's like
bubble wrap,
but it's made
almost
out of silicone. So they can do it like all the time. It's all kinds of stuff designed for kids who don't play outside enough, and so now they all have issues.
Got it. Okay.
And so it's like we're going to, you stay in bed all night, you get to pick from the box of fidgets.
Gotcha.
Okay. They hardly ever stay in bed all night because they're like, I don't give a shit. I've got tons of fidgets. I can trade them at school. Shit. Those kids at school have them. So it's not a real motivator. So we're just like, I don't know. Do we offer them cold hard cash? Do we offer them like, do we get them a kitten? The other thing is that our therapist told us to do
another animal to be in your bed.
Yeah. Well, we need more things. We did have two hamsters, but one just died. One hamster. We just had a hamster funeral yesterday morning. So
I'm so sorry for your loss.
I read a beautiful poem and I brought everyone to tears.
I love it. So, and then did you end with, and this all happened because you guys didn't feed the hamster?
Yeah, and then I secretly gave my husband a thumbs up because it's one less rodent in the house.
Yeah.
So,
oh yeah, okay. I wish those fish would all die. Uh huh.
No, right? No, they will. They will. They're going to. Don't worry. We've been through. We've had fish, lizards. We've had everything. It
fish
all dies.
Are so fucking old.
You got to stop taking care. What you do? You just stop taking care of it.
I don't take care of them.
Oh.
They're alive because my husband will take care of them, but I'm just like,
you tell him.
I don't need another thing to take care of. Hell no.
So the therapist was like, you have two options for how you're going to do this. The first one is every time they come in your room in the night, you have to walk them back and don't speak. And I was like, I sleep like the dead. I'll never do that. Because at night you could come in and be like, hey, so I'm going to just take everything from your house. And I'd be like, that's fine. Just don't make me get up. Like, I'm never going to get up. I'm never going to get up and walk a child back to their room consistently. I'm just never. She said, the second option is you put a like mattress on your floor and that you can say, kids, you can come into our room, but you can't get in our bed. You can sleep on this mattress on the floor. So we said, okay, that's what we did. So we have this mattress, this ugly fucking mattress on our floor that makes our room look like a trailer park.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it kind of already did anyway because it's a mess all the time like the rest of our house.
No, their house is gorgeous. Don't listen to her. She has a gorgeous mid-century house. She's full of bananas.
With laundry and piles everywhere and dead plants. The house itself, structurally beautiful, but
beautiful.
I'm in charge of it, so it's a fucking wreck all the time. So there's this old mattress on the floor and our old mattress against a wall. Two mattresses in my room right now. But the one on the floor is just this thin, shitty IKEA mattress that's a like smaller than a twin that my two kids can come in and sleep on in the middle of the night.
Okay.
Well, that worked for like a week and I was like, oh God, my body feels good and I'm getting some sleep. And then that, you know, of course that stopped and it's gotten cold. So they're not going to lay on the floor shivering. They're just crawling back in the bed. So last night I had the dog who's now starting to really like She's really spooning with me at this point, with her head on the pillow next to me. She's also skinny and she gets cold, so I'm spooning with my dog. My
husband. Are you Big Spoon or is she Big Spoon?
I'm Big Spoon. I have a migraine because I had gotten so upset with my son earlier that I was so stressed that I was like, I have to go lie down. I'm in bed with a migraine, spooning with my dog. My husband's fucking snoring like just nobody's business because he's one of those people that if he lays on his back, he's just like, you know, he's got that thing where it's that snoring disease.
Sleep apnea.
He should wear one of those masks, but I'm like, you know sleep what? Apnea. If you want to die in your sleep, that's your choice.
My husband has one of those masks, and it's life-changing. It's now I sleep.
Okay. Well, I'll tell him.
Good big luck. Points for CPAP machines.
I'll tell him to get it. And then my daughter comes in. I don't feel good. Oh, mommy, I really feel bad because she got her flu shot, which then made her have a fever.
Okay, so she really did feel bad, yeah.
So I'm up getting her medicine for her fever.
You had to get up.
I had to get up. And then I'm like, oh, God, I'm going to eat a banana. My head hurts so bad. I'm going to take something for my headache. And then Benji comes in. I'm scared. I had a bad dream. And I'm like, okay, just stay here. I'm going to figure it out. Go lay on that mattress on the floor. I'll get you some extra blankets. So I'm like covering him up with 10 blankets. She's like sweating on me. And the dog starts farting. And like, I'm just laying there making myself as small as I can.
Oh my God.
And literally, like, I don't think Alex and I slept from about 4 to 7.
So she stayed in bed with you. Because she was sick. Yes. I get it. She was sick.
She's sick. I'm not going to be like, go, hey, kid with the fever. Yeah. Go sleep on the thin mattress on the floor. Get out of here. And then
I ended up doing a lot of sleeping in my son's bed, which is a twin. Mm-hmm. He, up until kind of recently, needed me to be in there so he could fall asleep. And we would read or we would do this game on the iPad. And sometimes I would just get so tired, I would just stay, you know, and sleep. Or he used to get me in the middle of the night. He didn't come into bed with us because my husband can't stand how, you know, he just takes up so much room, even though he's little.
Yeah.
But
my husband can't sleep when the kids are in the bed. It drives him crazy. Yeah.
So I would go into bed with him and I'd stay there for half the night. And it was a twin, you know, we're both like sharing. I mean, it was okay. But I got to tell you, I didn't think it would ever end. And it's ended, you know. He doesn't get up anymore. He doesn't need me to go to bed with him. He takes himself to bed.
Recently.
I mean, that makes me feel better. Kind of recently. I mean, he's
this isn't okay. It's not normal. Yeah. And I'm like, I feel like this is a lot of families are dealing with this. Whether they're helping them to sleep or holding their hand till they fall asleep or going in their room. Like, I don't think it's like. We're just the ones. And all the other kids are like, you're like, good night, honey. And they're like, good night, mother and father. And they're like,
I'll see myself to bed now.
Yes. Thank you for everything.
What a dream that would be.
Even if it's
thank
not.
Thank you for everything.
The thing, though, is.
Thank you for your sacrifice. I really appreciate everything you do. Even when I don't like the food that you make, I still appreciate that you made it. Good night.
Sorry. Oh, my gosh. The thing, though, is even if it's not, quote unquote, normal, because I do think my son was older than most for needing that. It's fine. It ended and life goes on. Mm-hmm. So you know what I mean? Like other people have to deal with other things. Obviously what you do, the first thing you do as a parent is compare yourself to other people and compare your kids to other people. I don't see how that's avoidable, but I would say like, okay, well at least my son, you know, acknowledges other adults and thanks them. Whereas I see all these other kids who like, you know, are just rude. So, okay, he needs help getting to sleep, but you know, all right, so it's a trade-off. So, yeah, I think...
real.
And my friend, you know, I have a friend who has a 9-year-old also, and she has had sleep issues her entire life as well. So you're not alone, for sure.
One nice thing the therapist also did say to me is she's like, you know, it's pretty recently that parents have expected kids to sleep separately from them. Like, culturally...
Oh, really?
Culturally... it was the norm, and in still other cultures, it is the norm for children to sleep with their parents for many years.
Huh.
And so it is a big deal for kids to sleep by themselves. Like it is normal for them to feel, it is for the to be difficult for them.
That makes sense.
And so that made me feel better. I just, you know, I wouldn't care if it wasn't so wrecking to my own sleep.
Of course.
Yeah.
Like if it wasn't
100.
Yeah. Yeah.
At some point.
It's okay for you to want to be alone in your bed.
100%.
One. And two, it's totally going to not always be like, I feel like so much of parenthood is like that. It feels like it's
It'll
forever.
Never end.
And then it just does. It ends. And then you move on.
Then you get a new
thing. He's always going to have a pacifier. Oh, and now he doesn't. And it's fine.
I remember someone saying to me, or maybe I said to myself, like, he's not going to go to college and not be potty trained. It will all, it will happen. Because, you know, when things take so long, like, the potty training was exhausting. And then getting him to sleep by himself was exhausting. And you know, two steps forward, one step back. Like, we thought we'd, oh, he doesn't need it anymore. And then suddenly something would scare him and he needed it again. And maybe that will still happen. Probably not. But, you know, who knows? So it's just like it'll all work out. It just might take longer than you would like.
And you know what? If I would like to remind me to go to. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say I want to remind our dear listener of my parenting mantra, which is, it's probably gonna be fine.
Oh my God, that's great!
Just
I wish
say
I could.
To yourself.
I wish I could live
fine.
Like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I just fell off the bed and hit their head. It's probably going to be fine.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, though, Christine. Go on. What were you going
to
say?
No, I just was thinking, you know, if they need me to go to college with them and sleep with them, then I think that'll be fine.
So you'll have a site. It'll be like a comedic movie. You'll go to college again. Yeah, and you'll live with them. Exactly.
Yeah.
And the three of you will sleep in a dorm.
Like Rodney Dangerfield the whole time.
Exactly.
It's probably gonna look great. I mean, by then that'll be in fashion probably.
Right.
Probably.
Totally.
Can you tell everyone please about your podcast, what it's called, where they can find it, how to follow you on social media, all that?
Oh my God, we'd love to. Our podcast is called How to Survive, and we like to tell stories about real life disasters, things that scare us. Well, scare me especially, like tornadoes and wildfires and bear attacks, and then some less
home invasion.
Home invasion's coming up. Yeah. Some things also that are not as life threatening, but can just feel like you want to, like make you feel like you want to die. Maybe like shitting your pants in public.
Yeah.
Heartbreak, losing a job.
Yeah.
Freshman year of college.
Right. So for the first half, when we're talking about a real sort of serious thing, we give you tips that we've just Googled. I mean, we're not professing to know anything. We are just a couple of comedic writers who, you know, are just Googling for you.
I'm good at Google.
We're gonna Google. And but we're having fun the whole time. It's obviously they're serious topics, but it's not a downer podcast. It's really funny. And if I don't say so myself, and we give, so we sort of give tips on how to survive these things. And then we have a guest on. And when we have the guest on, we discuss the more sort of lighthearted side of surviving something, like, you know, getting fired or,
nice.
You know, dealing with a parent or something. So, yeah. So we've been very lucky to have really, really funny guests on. We would love to have you on. Betsy.
Oh my God, I would be honored
100%.
To come on your show.
Are you in Los Angeles? I don't even know.
Yes.
You are. Okay, great.
And I'm fully vaxxed.
Oh,
I'm
ready to go. That is a requirement. And so we've had two episodes air so far, and we have a bunch in the can, and we're having a really good time. We're having really
that's
fun.
That's entertainment speak for in the butt, everybody.
Yes, some episodes up the ass.
And you can you can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Yeah. Apple, etc. Stitcher.
And say the name of it one more time.
How to Survive with Danielle and Christine. And
awesome.
If you want to follow us on social media, on Twitter, we're Pod How to Survive.
And the same on Instagram.
Yeah, and we actually have an email for people to tell us their stories. And also to correct us, because now we're getting people telling us you got this wrong, which we are totally open to. We are not above.
Like, I just Googled it.
Yes.
Right?
Right. So if you want to email us, it's podcasthowtosurvive@gmail.com.
Yes, please tell us what we're doing wrong.
Yeah.
We're moms. We don't get that enough.
Yes. Tell us what we're talking about. Only in regards to the podcast.
What are some stories that you are hoping to hear from people? Like, what kind of stories do you want people to send you? Just things that they've survived?
I mean, the more humiliating, the better, usually. Mm. Like, that's where the comedy comes from, obviously, is just ridiculous things. Or it could be something harrowing, but obviously you've survived and you can laugh about it now. So whatever you want. I mean, you know.
Love it.
Yeah. Just any sort of public humiliation is always good.
It's like this podcast, but just much broader.
Yes. Yes.
And it just, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because this podcast is really just how to
survive being a parent.
Yeah.
Right.
Terrible things that have happened to you as a parent. And now we laugh because it's in the rearview mirror most of the time.
That's right.
That sounds amazing. Everyone, please follow them on Instagram, listen to their podcast, and get in on the ground floor. It's a new show, everybody. Danielle, Christine, you are doing a great job.
Aww.
I hope you know that.
Thank you.
You're doing an amazing job.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you. Yeah, your show is a blast. This is so much fun.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, I could talk about being a mom all day.
Your kids sound wonderful. You are amazing moms. You're kicking ass. You're making podcasts. and you're doing a wonderful job. Good job.
Well, thank you. And thank you so much for having us on.
Yes. And thank you for making this podcast.
Yeah.
I think people need it.
You are so 100%. Well, thank you.
Yeah,
I agree. Totally. I think I started it just selfishly. I needed to shout into the void.
Yeah.
And luckily everyone else was like, oh, I am also shouting into the void. Hello.
Join me in the void.
Join me in this void. It's actually surprisingly friendly in here. Oh, well. Thank you so much, everyone, for coming on the show. Thank you so much for listening. Dear listener, if you find yourself half drunk in sandals running to catch a train or wishing that everyone would just sleep on their little tiny mattress on the floor, for God's sake, or if you find yourself watching your kid just pull out a giant yarn placenta, just know that you are doing a great job.
My mommy drinks.
Imagine a podcast. Now, imagine a musical. Now, imagine the two of them made 1 million babies. Well, you don't have to imagine it, because it's real, and it has a name. 1 million musicals. Each month, we bring you a brand new, original podcast musical featuring talent from across Broadway, films, and TV. You'll hear tales of spooky ghosts, Wild West shootouts, adventures on the high seas, and much, much more. 1 million musicals. Only a few hundred thousand to go.
A Campfire Media Podcast.
Campfire.